Good morning, 610 here on News Radio 92.3. I told you right before the break that we had some a development in the story about the Santa Rosa County flag, and the development is kind of amazing, honestly. You can read all about it at News Radio 92.3 and the Facebook page. President Trump to personally fund Santa Rosa tallest Florida flag. What? Yeah, and there's more, too. After months of controversy surrounding Santa Rosa Commissioner James Calkins' proposal to erect the tallest flagpole in Florida near the county's administrative complex in Milton, a surprise plan has emerged to avoid all the questions about public funding for the project. Remember, this has been kind of the issue is, you know, everybody loves the idea of the big flag pole. It's the biggest flag, but it's the pole, not the flag. Anyway, you know, they love it, but they don't love the funding, right? Let's not use tax money to do it. Let's see if we can do it through private donation. Like, I don't think there's anybody who's opposed to it if you can do it, just do it privately, especially if you can do it in, like, not that location, but do it in a place where you're maybe having some veterans monuments or some other things around. Like, make a whole project out of it. You know, this could be piece one, but then you're going to do some other stuff around it. I mean, then it really starts to become a tourist destination. Anyway, back to the article. Let's see. According to an email obtained by News Radio, Calkins has directly contacted former President Trump asking for his help in the project and offering to fly the largest Trump flag in Florida beneath the giant American flag as well. So it's not now this is where it starts to be a little controversial. Tell me what you think about this. 437-1620. Now it's not just an American flag, it's an American flag with a Trump 24 flag underneath it. Which, you know, would not be my preference. But if it's going to be funded privately, I mean, you could put any flag up there that you wanted to if it's going to be funded privately, right? James Calkins writes in this email, since we are about to put up the greatest flag in all of Florida, it should obviously be a tribute to the greatest president who ever lived. Respectfully, sir, I want to say that is you. Some of these rhino liberals around here have been messing up my plan to make Santa Rosa great again, but I believe in you, sir. I want to build the largest USA flag in Florida and have the largest Trump flag in Florida right beneath it. I know the fake news media have been lying about how broke you are, sir, but I know you can easily write a check for $500,000, which would cover the whole project cost, including land, pole, one huge American flag, and one equally huge Trump 2024 flag. Flying at 207 feet, which as a Bible scholar like you knows, seven is the Lord's number, these flags will show everyone who drives on I-10 just how much Florida and Santa Rosa County love you, sir. So that was Calkins making the plea to former President Trump. And I thought, Trump gets a lot of emails. You know, Trump gets a lot of emails, so I'm, you know, sure nothing comes of it. And then, lo and behold, on True Social, okay, Trump's newly super profitable platform. Well, not profitable. I mean, the stock price went up. That doesn't mean the thing is making money. It's actually losing money. But, you know, a lot of his supporters have been propping it up. At least that's the theory, is people who believe in him have been investing in it and that keeping the price artificially high. I don't know whether that's true or not, but that's what sort of the analysis seems to indicate, since it's a money-losing proposition. But, you know, a lot of these social media companies lose money and still have massive stock value. Anyway, in response, former President Trump posted this on True Social just last night, late. I love this James Calkins and his huge flagpole. One, two, three, four, five, four huge. Three exclamation marks. That's how he writes on True Social. Santa Rosa is the greatest place I have ever flown over. I love this idea, and I love the big-time successful thinking it represents. This Calkins knows what the people of Santa Rosa County want, and what they want is Trump and a big flag. Let's go, James! In fact, this is such a genius idea. I'm kind of emphasizing when he writes caps, although it gets repetitive to say all caps because, you know, half the thing is in all caps. In fact, this is such a genius idea that I want to make you Governor James Calkins in 2026. The what now? What? He says, I can get anyone elected governor just like I did for Ron DeSantis. I thought he wasn't saying that anymore. Okay. Together we can do it. 4 exclamation marks. We've got to make America Calkins again. Oh, stop. Really? Anyway, he should have said make Florida Calkins. Well, anyway, whatever. Unfortunately, I can't send you money today because of Joe Biden's goons are trying to bankrupt me and I will need every penny to win the election. But if you start the project now with your own money, I promise to pay you back after the great people of the USA elect me president for the third time. For the third time. Finally, to show you my appreciation, I'm sending you a special signed, limited edition, Trump-endorsed, God Bless the USA Bible, 2 exclamation marks. Sincerely, your favorite president of all time, Donald J. Trump. Wow. You think it happens? 437-1620. I mean, he doesn't volunteer to give the money right now, which to me is a bit of a red flag. But then again, honestly, this looks like a campaign expense. I mean, if, you know, it's a Trump flag, 2024 is a campaign flag. What if he called it a campaign expense and bought the property and put up a flag here? And, I mean, what if he did it in, I don't know, maybe not necessarily Santa Rosa, but just places where he thinks that it would be kind of a big, cool thing. You know, you can't have more than one tallest flag in Florida. But what about the tallest flag in, I don't know, pick your swing state, Arizona? You know, Ohio, Michigan, Wisconsin? What if he put, I don't know, $5 million worth of campaign money into 10 tallest flags in the state with a Trump flag underneath them? I'm not recommending. I'm just like, I'm thinking it through. Of course, you know, for me, I'd just rather have the American flag. That seems to be all inclusive. And this would be, because that was kind of the selling point, right? James Calkins said that the American flag would be very inclusive of everybody. I'm not sure that that's exactly his general theme all the time. But, you know, the idea of the American flag is something that everybody loves. Well, still not everybody. There are people who hate it, but, you know, we're not really worried about them. You put an American flag and then a Trump flag, and all of a sudden it's no longer this great unifying thing that everybody loves. It's more like, you know. And then what if he doesn't win the election? I mean, I don't know. I have a lot of questions. 437-1620. What do you think about this idea? 437-1620. Like I said, you can read about it on Facebook if you wanted to comment there or share it or whatever. News Radio 92.3. If you're not a fan of our Facebook page, please like it while you're there. And you also, there's this whole thing about Facebook where you got to like pick, see first. You know, you got to prioritize pages so that they don't get shuffled down into the bottom, whatever Facebook thinks that you're interested in. Anyway, I do that with all my news sites. You know, they're all on the top of my see first, like the Escambia Sheriff's Office, Santa Rosa Sheriff's Office, PNJ, WEAR, Studio 850, you know, North Escambia, South Santa Rosa News, Gulf Breeze News. You know, those are all in my, like, see them first kind of stuff. Anyway, Jake's got traffic on the fives. Jake?
I'm not seeing. There it is. Ah, love it. Great way to start off our week. Not seeing anything on the roadways to report to. No accidents by FHP. Nothing on our Google map showing any congestion. I-10 and I-110 are flowing smoothly. Highway 98 through Gulf Breeze and Navarre is good. 3 Mile Bridge is flowing. Looks like coming out of Milton through Pace on Highway 90. No accidents reported there. Highway 29 south through Cantonment and Inslee is looking good. No delays on Burgess or Olive. And Lily and Jackson, Navy, New Warrington, all accident-free on the west side. If you see anything out there slowing you down on the roadways, let us know about it. Call or text 437-1620. I'm Jake Walker with your traffic on the fives.
Hey, if you've got any kind of a plumbing issue, a leak, a drip, a weird sound in the walls, or your producer's always coughing when he's doing his traffic, you know, whatever, if it's a plumbing thing.
Hey, I ate a lot of candy yesterday. Come on.
Give Barberry Plumbing a call. They will take care of you. It's flat rate pricing by the job, not by the hour, so you know what it's going to cost before they do the work. 477-8782 for Barberry Plumbing.
The Port of Pensacola is more than just a name. It's a powerhouse of economic opportunities, a strategic location that sparks growth and prosperity, contributing significantly to the local and regional economy with 23 incredible businesses that call this port home. Big names like C-Max Materials, GE Wind Energy, and soon the prestigious American Magic Sailing Team. Since 1754, the Port of Pensacola has been the driving force behind Northwest Florida's economic success. Explore more at portofpensacola.com.
What's fun and happening in Pensacola? You'll find out as the City of Pensacola Parks and Recreation Department talks about it here on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Join us this Friday as we detail what's going on in your city parks and resource centers.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Bands on the Beach is back. Grab a lawn chair towel and enjoy live music at the stage on Pensacola Beach. There's plenty of room to spread out and enjoy the sand, the sunset, and live music every Tuesday night at 7.
In 1814, we took a little trip along with Colonel Jackson down the mighty Mississippi.
This week, the Victrolas bring the feel of Texas dance halls, Bakersfield honky-tonks, and the strains of the Louisiana hayride. Grab a blanket or lawn chair, but don't bring any pets or glass, and get to Bands on the Beach every Tuesday night at 7 at the Gulfside Pavilion, thanks to the Santa Rosa Island Authority.
Guy Benson, keeping you informed of the news every day at 2, right after Mark Newfancap and Robbins on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Who's in charge here?
When you were just a young girl and still in school, how come you never learned the golden rule?
The UConn Huskies are going back to the Final Four to defend their title. The number one overall seed, Connecticut, will try to become the first program to repeat as a national champion in 17 years.
Because they played my team, Illinois, and it was not even close. I mean, it was actually really close for a long time. It was, I think it was 23-23 at the half, and then UConn scored 30 in a row unanswered or something crazy like that, or to come back even. It just, it was unpleasant to watch. But good luck, Alabama. You've got them next, which, by the way, big in news for Alabama in this regard.
Clock continues to tick. Here is Gerard with five remaining. He hits a three. Too little, too late for Clemson, though, on the run out. Estrada, and he will lay it in. And the Alabama Crimson Tide will roll into the Final Four for the first time in program history.
Hey, congratulations, all you Alabama fans. All of you Alabama fans who suddenly discover that Alabama plays basketball, too. You know, that's some people. But, yeah, no, that's congratulations. That's great. First Final Four ever. Purdue is in its first Final Four since 1980. Sorry, Tennessee fans. And, of course, NC State is a Cinderella now. Their first Final Four since 1983, beating Duke pretty handily. Most of these games were not that interesting. Actually, the Clemson-Alabama game was probably the most interesting of all four of the games over the weekend. Well, I guess there was a little more than that because, what, eight? 10, whatever. Anyway, those were the big games yesterday going in the Final Four on Saturday. 6:22 on News Radio 92.3. Oh, this is kind of interesting. I don't have any idea what to make of this fact.
According to resale company Vivid Seats, ticket prices for the Women's Final Four are 47% more expensive than those for the men's tournament. The vendor lists the cheapest ticket for the women's games at $343, while the lowest priced seats for the men clock in at $233.
I don't know if it's to see the Caitlin Clark games or if it's to see the big matchup. I don't know, but I thought that was interesting. Maybe it's a smaller venue. I don't know. I haven't looked into that. You know, if it were a smaller venue, that might more explain what we normally see, but I don't think it is. That's the only explanation I've got. Otherwise, it's kind of wild. Maybe it's that, you know, for teams that want to book the finals or want to buy those tickets, that it's like fans of those teams as opposed to fans of the sport. And maybe it's fans of the sport of women's basketball are more flocking. I don't know. It's very interesting, very counterintuitive. Typically, you wouldn't expect to see that at all. 437-1620, David Wayne is in the newsroom this morning with our headlines. David?
Former President Donald Trump will be in Georgia for a fundraiser later this month. It's a luncheon event in Atlanta, but Trump's campaign so far hasn't said whether or not there will also be a rally around that time. Both Trump and President Biden now see Georgia as a battleground state after its surprise flip in 2020. The Powerball jackpot on the verge of becoming an episode of Who Wants to Be a Billionaire? No grand prize winner again on Saturday. Monday's jackpot up to $975 million. And Congressman Tim Walberg attempting to clarify some recent controversial statements on the use of nuclear weapons in the Gaza Strip. In a video circulating on the internet, Walberg is heard telling constituents that we shouldn't be spending a dime on humanitarian aid. Instead, he says,
Separate the streams, don't cross the streams, David.
That's just good Ghostbusters advice.
Let's try this one. You always have to trust the Ghostbusters. Try this one more time.
It should be like Nagasaki and Hiroshima. Get it over quick.
Talking about Nagasaki and Hiroshima there. Play it one more time.
It should be like Nagasaki and Hiroshima. Get it over quick.
For Gaza?
That's what he said, yeah. And so in a statement on X
he thinks
from
he's advocating a nuclear attack on the Gaza Strip.
I mean, that's
you know,
what it
I
sounds.
Think I saw this headline sounds in like. Passing somewhere or other last night or this morning, and I didn't look into it more. That's a U.S. congressman?
Yeah, yes, from Michigan. And he made a statement on X yesterday. He said he was just using a metaphor to convey the need for Israel to win the war. That's what he said on X yesterday, trying
that's
to roll back that statement.
Not
a
metaphor. That's.
It sounded pretty literal.
That's a specified literal use of nuclear weapons for the first time since World War II, using the last time we used nuclear weapons as the exemplar, justifying the. Oh, my God. Wow. Anybody can get elected. All right, David, thanks so much for the update. I hate generalizing so quickly, but can we acknowledge that we have a culture that rewards the more absurd comment with attention? I mean, this is because it's an elected official. It's not that it's not news. It's just that it's we have this incentive structure built around the people who say the most inflammatory, ridiculous, provocative, outrageous things getting the most attention. And then we complain when statesmen, people who are civil, people who are diplomats know how to get along and bridge gaps and aisles and work with the other side, when they don't get elected. You can't have it both ways. We're rewarding the crazy and then complaining that we get more crazy. You know, basic economics tells you that if you pay more for a thing, you get more of that thing, right? Jake's got our traffic on the fives. Jake?
Well, I'm not seeing anything on our roadways to report. FHP is not showing any accidents. I-10 and I-110 look like it's moving smoothly. Highway 98 through Gulf Breeze and Navarre, no slowdowns there. If you're coming out of Milton through Pace on Highway 90, not seeing anything slowing you down there. Highway 29 is clear from the Atmore cutoff in Molino through Cantonment. No delays on Burgess or Olive. Cervantes is clear through the curve on Scenic Highway. Summit Boulevard is clear. No slowdowns on Bayfront. And Avalon Boulevard is clear through to Garcon Point. If you see anything out there on the roadway slowing you down, you can always call or text our traffic tip line. That phone number is 437-1620. I'm Jake Walker with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Jake. 627 News Radio 92.3. A couple of military notes that are, I don't know, one is really interesting and one is, maybe it's less interesting than it seems at first, but I thought you guys would find this fascinating. Since we're a Navy town, the Navy is now headline. The Navy is going to allow boot camp recruits to use their personal cell phones to make calls from the barracks. Now, before you get too worked up, okay, this is not like all the time. This is not that they're going to have their cell phones. This is really just a slight shift, as I read it, from the current practice of allowing them to make phone calls farther into the training. Recruits are typically allowed 5 standard phone calls during basic training. Navy statement for the policy change says, now recruits will utilize their personal device to contact family or friends. So it's a small test. They did a small test of the policy in November. Now they're rolling it out to, you know, basically every Navy basic. From Captain Ken Froberg, the head of the Navy's Recruitment Training Command, says, we decided it's time for recruits to connect with their loved ones in a more modern way. From Lieutenant Nicholas Lingo, this is a Military.com article, a spokesman for Recruit Training Command tells Military.com that the plans for recruits to keep their phones in separate lock boxes where they will be away from everyday access. And in the future, the lock boxes will also have the ability to keep the phones charged. And then every couple of weeks, when recruits would normally be taken to Recruit Training Command's massive bank of payphones, they just get their phones and they get to make their calls from their own devices. They will be told that they may not use, this is going to be key for people, they cannot use any other functions on their phones like video calling or apps. So you're still sequestered away from the rest of the phone. He says you want to afford them the opportunity to be responsible adults, to be good sailors, and this is just yet another opportunity for them to adhere to the rules, understand that we're doing this so you can do what you need to do to talk to your family and take care of your loved ones. Air Force and Army already doing this, apparently. So Navy is more falling in line with several other service branches. And part of the issue is apparently that you know, people do so much of their sort of business of living on their phones, like paying bills and things, that, you know, separating recruits from their phones for 10 weeks started to look impractical, including, I mean, just dumb stuff like two-factor authentication for banking or financial reasons, you know, and what if you didn't realize that one account was still running through your cell phone and here you are locked into basic for 10 weeks and can't help your spouse out? I mean, maybe they find a workaround, but, you know, that's kind of the idea behind it. And, you know, what reads at first as a, oh my God, what the Navy is doing, starts to look like, well, you know, it's a pretty small thing in the end because it's just like a periodic substitute of the cell phone for a payphone.
Pelosi, Nashville police are looking for a 46-year-old man named Anton Rucker. They say he is responsible for an Easter Day shooting that killed one man and hurt five others. According to law enforcement, two men got into an altercation at Easter brunch.
Metro police say Rucker was the only one to shoot, and some people were even trying to stop him. We've learned the victim is 33-year-old Alan Beacom.
That is Peyton Muse, a Fox TV affiliate, WZTV Nashville. The U.S. Coast Guard giving Fox News a tour of the collapsed Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore yesterday. Maryland Governor Wes Moore saying crews are working to open a channel in the Port of Baltimore.
But we know that we have to move with safety and we have to move with speed in order to get our commercial engine going again.
The bridge collapsed after a cargo ship lost power and rammed into a beam last week. Six construction workers were killed. America is listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 6:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now it is 67 degrees. We've still got mostly cloudy skies this morning in Pensacola. A child was hurt in a house fire in Jay over the weekend. That fire was reported on Saturday morning at a home on Scott Street just north of Highway 4. Firefighters say the home had been engulfed when they arrived. The occupants were all able to escape, but one child was hurt in that process and taken to the hospital. The home reportedly a total loss. There's no word yet on the cause of that fire. A 64-year-old Milton woman was taken to the hospital after a crash on Friday involving two semi-trucks on I-10 that happened near mile marker 8 last Friday evening. The Florida Highway Patrol says one semi-truck rear-ended another semi-truck, then that semi-truck rear-ended the sedan that the woman was driving. The woman was taken to the hospital as a trauma alert patient after that crash. The incident also resulted in a brief closure of the eastbound lanes of I-10 on Friday because of the damage to the two trucks. Now, nobody else was hurt in that crash. An Atmore man is dead after a crash on Alabama Highway 21. That happened on Saturday evening. ALEA says that 60-year-old Deloitte Johnson ran off the road into a ditch near mile marker 4. They are still investigating that crash. Well, we might find out today if voters are going to be able to weigh in on a few controversial issues. The Florida Supreme Court is expected to announce if referendums on marijuana and abortion will be on November ballot. One referendum would legalize recreational marijuana for anybody over 21 in the state. The other would prevent the state from banning abortion before viability or when necessary to protect the patient's health. One person has died after being hit by an Amtrak train in Miami-Dade. That happened in Apalache yesterday. The victim has not been identified so far. No details have been released. And we learned last week about Orlando City Commissioner Regina Hill and her legal troubles. She's been accused of stealing over $100,000 from one of her elderly constituents. So far, she's not been suspended from serving on that commission. The commission set to meet at 2 o'clock today, but no word if she'll be at that meeting or not. It is 6:34, News Radio 92.3. Let's go ahead and get a look at our traffic on the fives. Jake, you seeing anything out there?
Not seeing anything on our roadways. FHP is not reporting any accidents at all. I-10 and I-110 are flowing. Highway 98 through Gulf Breeze and Navarre not showing any accidents there. Highway 90 coming out of Milton through Pace this morning, no problems there. Highway 29 is clear from the Atmore cutoff in Molino through Cantonment. Bayfront Parkway is clear. Berry Hill Road, Dogwood Drive, Hamilton Bridge Road, all of those are looking good. If you do see anything out there on the roadway slowing you down, let us know about it. Call or text our traffic tip line. That phone number is 437-1620. I'm Jake Walker with your traffic on the fives.
We are going to have a cloudy day today with temperatures very warm in the morning, warming up for the afternoon near 79 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 66. For Tuesday, very cloudy start to the day with highs reaching 80 degrees. Showers and thunderstorms possible through the evening and overnight hours. Temperatures overnight Tuesday dropping near 63. For Wednesday morning, showers, thunderstorms continue, then clear out by the afternoon, high near 73. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And right now, it is 66 in Pensacola, 60. 68 in Gulf Breeze and 65 in Milton. Our next news at 7 and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. AT&T has announced it is investigating a data breach that resulted in more than 7 million customers' information getting published on the dark web. This includes names, home addresses, phone numbers, dates of birth, and social security numbers. AT&T has not identified the source of the leak, but encouraged users to monitor their account activity. The Bureau of Labor Statistics said nearly 56% of all workers were paid at hourly rates in 2022. This was most commonly seen in industries like healthcare, hospitality, retail, and manufacturing. When it comes to artificial intelligence, 70% of shift workers believe that AI will bring disruptions to their jobs. Experts, however, foresee resilience to AI disruption in sectors requiring human touch, like elderly care, hospitality, and other services. Futures are moderately higher. Markets were closed on Friday for Good Friday, but on Thursday, the Dow gained 47. That's your money now.
Pure opportunity. It's what Michigan is all about. The opportunity to do more. The opportunity to connect with the best talent. The opportunity for people of all backgrounds to grow and expand their business. The opportunity to live and work in a state where paychecks go farther. The opportunity is now, and it's right here in Michigan. Visit michiganbusiness.org/radio to discover all the ways the Michigan Economic Development Corporation is helping Michigan thrive.
Planning for spring at Lowe's means big savings on outdoor power equipment, and Lowe's knows nothing feels better than free. Buy one select Ego string trimmer, leaf blower, or mower kit. Get one select 56-volt battery free. That's up to a $299 value. Power through spring with Ego, the number one rated brand in cordless outdoor power. Because Lowe's knows home improvement. Valid through 4/3 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
Uh-oh!
You've just discovered you have...
rats! Ew! What do I do? How do you get rid of them? I haven't a clue.
To get rid of the rats is no problem at all. The solution's inside Davis Hardware and U-Haul.
Hi, how can we help you?
I have a rat problem.
Oh, rats.
Literally, what do I do?
Davis Hardware and U-Haul employees are real hardware people and know what happens when infestations get out of hand. They have the experience to help you get rid of your, uninvited guests.
Thank you.
Davis Hardware and U-Haul on L Street just off Fairfield in the center of Pensacola.
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. The Gulf Coast VA will host a free PACT Act enrollment benefits event Saturday morning beginning at 8 at the Pensacola VA Clinic. State and local political representatives and vet-owned businesses will be there. The United Way is celebrating 100 years. Join them for their free Glitz and Gallop Kentucky Derby Gala Saturday at PSC. See UWWF.org for more information. Find more events and submit yours at newsradio923.com.
Are you hungry for news that keeps you informed, is local and dependable? Look no further than News Radio Pensacola on 92.3, 95.3, and on AM 1620. We're your trusted source for all the latest happenings in the Emerald Coast. From breaking news to in-depth reports, we've got you covered. Our team of experienced journalists brings you the stories that matter most to our community. Stay connected with local events, weather updates, and traffic reports, ensuring you're always one step ahead. We're News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
Yesterday was Easter. Happy Easter. And we had competing lots of different things from the two primary presidential candidates, Joe Biden and Donald Trump. And not all good. Let's just say it that way. Not all good at all. In fact, some of it good. Okay, you know, some of it I would say is endorsable, allowable, well within the range. The basic comments from Biden and Trump about Easter were okay. On Twitter, the Democratic president, Joe Biden, says, "To all those gathering in churches and homes around the world today, happy Easter. May God bless and keep you." Trump on True Social says, "Happy Easter." Of course, later on Sunday, he also said, "Happy Easter to all, including crooked and corrupt prosecutors and judges." This is in all caps. "Crooked and corrupt prosecutors and judges that are doing everything possible to interfere with the presidential election 2024 and put me in prison, including those many people that I completely and totally despise because they want to destroy America, a now failing nation. And happy Easter to my enemies." I don't know. There's something sort of right about that. And there's something super weird and petulant and petty and unchristian about that at the same time. But, oh, don't worry, Joe Biden had his stuff, in case you didn't know. Because, meanwhile, President Biden on Instagram has gotten a lot of criticism for saying that on Transgender Day of Visibility, "We celebrate the joy, strength, and absolute courage of some of the bravest people I know. Today, we show millions of transgender and non-binary Americans that we see them, they belong, and they should be treated with dignity and respect. Trans rights are human rights," is what the photo says. So decides to do that observation on Easter. It's a day that could go any time, but it happens to fall on, you know, the 31st this year. And the pushback against the Biden administration for this was, let's just say, robust, okay? So here's the thing. You know, I'm a Christian, call myself one, try to do it well. I don't think I do, which is, you know, pretty good indication that you're at least not on the wrong track. If you think you're like winning at Christianity, you probably don't understand it very well. But if you think, you know, man, I mess this up all the time, there's a chance. You have a chance, okay? Does Easter represent salvation for transgender people? I mean, you know Easter, right? Jesus crucified on the cross, dies, sinless man. Convicted, you know, the Romans at the behest of the Jewish leaders of the day put him to death, and he goes into the tomb, he's buried, and, you know, 3 days later the stone is rolled away, or Friday to Sunday, depending on how you want to count. We're not going to get into the details right now. That doesn't matter so much for the present purpose. The women show up at the tomb, and they're surprised to find that, you know, the tomb is empty, and they start talking to a guy, and, oh, it turns out, you know, hey, look, that's Jesus. Let's go tell the boys. The boys come, and, you know the story, okay? And then he appears to a bunch of people, and then eventually in front of a crowd of 500, he zips up into somewhere else, okay? Representing the idea that anybody who has faith in Jesus can be born again and saved from their sins and get what he deserved, which is unity with God the Father, and not get what we deserve from our behavior, which is hell. Okay, that's the short encapsulation of the Christian gospel, right? Does Easter represent salvation for transgender people too? I mean, of course it does. If you, like, you're not sure how to answer that question, you might want to rethink your premises. Like, of course it does. But does that mean that, you know, they can't be transgender anymore? They have to... Well, that's a much more complicated topic. I mean, it's not that complicated, but the first question's easy. The second question is, then how does that play out? I mean, does Easter represent salvation for all sinners? Of course it does. Regardless of the sin, right? Does it mean that sins aren't sins? Of course not. You know, just because salvation is available doesn't mean that it changes the bad behavior you engage in. Bad behavior that I engage in, or you engage in, or anybody else engages in. The problem here is that kind of the gender anarchy movement is more about redefining things as being good, okay, or wonderful, rather than just being including a traditionally marginalized group. Because, by the way, the gospel's super inclusive. I mean, like, the Ethiopian eunuch is one of the first recipients of the message of the gospel in Acts. I mean, that's a, you know, a guy with mutilated, right? An eunuch, okay? That would have been an outcast in that time. And, you know, Philip goes and zips up to the chair and talks to him. I mean, that's pretty amazing. And talking to an adulteress and talking to and telling her sins are forgiven and go and sin no more. I mean, the Bible's full of reclaiming lost, broken, horrible, terrible, awful people. The Apostle Paul was the worst persecutor of Christians. He murdered them for a living, got paid to do it, right? Like, the gospel's for everybody. So if your first reaction to this is, well, how dare he? I understand, because why would he do that on Easter when we're trying to have the... But just at a bare minimum, the gospel's for everybody. Okay, now, again, does the gospel mean that the woman didn't have to go change her life? No, go and sin no more. Means you're forgiven, don't do it anymore. Both are a part of that story. And look, it's hard to tell people that if you're going to come to this faith, you got to give up all of your essential things that you always believed in, you know, that you always practice. I mean, you sold porn yesterday. Can you keep doing that today? Nah, probably not. But Christianity has given up everything to follow Christ. So forsaking your own ideas about who you are and what's good to do and what's okay is kind of, again, part of the bargain. You know, Zacchaeus didn't get to go on being a lion stealing tax collector thief. You know, he gave back a bunch of money. We don't know. Maybe he was an honest tax collector, but he couldn't keep doing it the way he was doing it before. The reason I point all this out is because I think sometimes we knee-jerk react to stuff in a weird way. And though I don't think that, you know, I mean, Biden is clearly not embracing the biblical positions on gender. We know that. I mean, he was, before Obama, he was in favor of gay marriage. He forced Obama to become in favor of gay marriage because he'd been a sort of don't ask, don't tell guy for a while, and then Biden came out first on that. So we know he does not agree with his own faith, Catholic faith. He's a Catholic. When it comes to a lot of these gender issues, especially abortion issues and things like that. But does that mean he's not really a Christian, or that he doesn't represent a position on Christianity, or that he, I don't know, just don't knee-jerk. Think things through a little bit. That's all I'm saying. And there's, by the way, there's more to this story than even I've mentioned, because there's another slice of this for today for the Easter egg roll. We might get into that here in a second. Jake's got traffic on the fives. Jake?
Well, I'm not seeing any accidents reported by FHP at the moment. I-10 and I-110 look like they're clear. Highway 98 through Gulf Breeze and Navarre, no problems there. Highway 90 coming out of Milton through Pace is accident-free. Chase Street, Gregory Street, Garden Street, Palafox all checking in clear. No slowdowns on Cervantes, and Caroline Street is clear in Milton. If you see anything out there on the roadway slowing you down, let us know. Call or text 437-1620. This traffic report is brought to you by Allstate. You're in good hands with Allstate. I am Jake Walker with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Jake. So back to the, you know, other things going on at the White House. Today you have the Easter egg roll. And one of the headlines for the Easter egg roll, this is the White House puts it on every year, is that they're not going to allow, here, I'll actually read you the restrictions. Easter egg designs for the 2024 Celebrating National Guard Families event today. The art contest is part of the White House's Easter traditions, which include the annual Easter egg roll. Flyer for the contest states in an Easter egg design submission, quote, must not include any questionable content, religious symbols, overtly religious themes, or partisan political statements. Okay, this is one you can knee-jerk on. This is one where you can say, so what you're telling me is that we're going to celebrate Easter, an overtly religious holiday, with a Catholic president, but you're not allowed to have, let's say, a cross in your artwork for Easter. What? Well, Andrew, no religious artwork, so you couldn't have a Star of David. Do you think there's a lot of Jewish kids showing up at the Easter egg roll, putting the Star of David on their Easter egg? I mean, you know, you think there's a lot of crescent and moon and star Muslim kids showing up at the Easter egg roll, putting that? I mean, this is very clearly saying, no, it says in text, none, okay, none to any, but it's clearly the most direct response or, you know, impact would be that Christian kids, right? And see, here's what I think is interesting. One of the representatives for the White House said, who is this? Max? I'm not sure who this person was. When we say can't be overtly religious, we just can't be seen to be promoting one religion over the other, the same way we can't be seen to be promoting one political viewpoint or ideology over the other. We have to be totally neutral in everything we do and have it be just focused on egg promotion and marketing activities. And this is obviously a huge opportunity for us to showcase the incredible eggs in a fun and unique way. You really don't understand the First Amendment and the Establishment Clause. If kids show up with crosses on their eggs or Jesus on their eggs or the Bible on their eggs, nobody's going to be confused into thinking the White House is advocating that or taking a position on that. This is not government endorsement of religion any more than having kids wear a religious T-shirt to school is the school endorsing religion. So they completely don't understand the First Amendment, which is common. A lot of people don't understand the First Amendment Establishment Clause. And in fact, because it's almost entirely only going to be Christian kids who would show up like this, it starts to look pretty targeted, almost like it's an anti-Christian establishment. Because, again, do you really have this flood of Jewish and Muslim kids showing up with their thing? So, yeah, this is bad. Now, one thing I have not been able to verify is it's being reported like it's this year, and I don't know whether this was true in years past. I did a real quick search to try to look it up and see, because it might well have been a rule for a long time. There's some other contest where this is kind of like borrowed language from that rule. But, yeah, having kids express their affinity for religion at an Easter egg thing is a kind of an Easter thing to do. So it's... 6:50 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Join the thousands of recyclers who strive to eliminate recycling contamination every day by following the Core 4. The Core 4 includes glass containers, plastics 1 and 2, cardboard and mixed paper, and metal cans. Remember, if you're not sure if an item can be recycled, think, when in doubt, throw it out and put it in your garbage can instead of recycling. Visit ecua.fl.gov for more information. That's ecua.fl.gov. And thank you for being ECUA's recycling partner.
Hi, this is Todd Thompson, President and CEO of the Greater Pensacola Chamber of Commerce. Tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel for the Chamber Connection Show that will keep you informed on what's going on with your Chamber of Commerce. Tune in at 10 to find out about our upcoming events, all of our different programs, and what's happening with our local business community. It's the Chamber Connection Show every other Monday at 10 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
I feel occasional burning and stabbing in my hands as I age.
I sometimes feel numbness and tingling in my feet as I get older.
It's starting to get in the way of doing what I love.
At Nervive, we hear you, and we can help. Nervive's clinically studied dose of alpha-lipoic acid reduces occasional nerve discomfort in as little as 7 days with continued daily use.
Now that I know, I'm taking control.
Try Nervive Nerve Relief and say yes to healthy nerves.
These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Wrap up your day with all of the national, state, local sports and entertainment news with Pensacola Right Now with Joe and Austin on News Radio 92.3.
Oh, I will say one thing. This is not meant to be a defense of the Biden administration or of the White House banning religious symbols at the Easter egg roll. But come on, you know, people who are upset about the, you know, the transgender thing, which, again, I understand where you're coming from. But, I mean, it is a holiday where we celebrate all the colors in pastel. I mean, as a color scheme, there's no gayer holiday. Come on. Come on. Anyway, 6:53 on News Radio 92.3. Jake's got, sorry, not Jake, David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. Jake, David?
I'm not going to lie. I laughed way too hard. AT&T
has
announced a major breach in security on Saturday. The company confirmed 73 million in current million current and former customer accounts had been leaked to the dark web a couple of weeks ago. That data included social security numbers that appeared to be from before 2020. An investigation into that is ongoing. More than 400,000 cars are being recalled by Kia. The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration says Telluride SUV models could potentially roll away while in park because shaft components may not be engaged. So you want to get that checked out if your car's in that list. And there's new numbers out showing that in about half of all U.S. states, you need a six-figure income to afford a house.
With median home prices now over $400,000, Bankrate says household income should top 110 grand to afford that typical home. That's a 46% increase from 4 years ago, and now 22 states have that six-figure income threshold for an average house. Mississippi, Ohio, Arkansas, Indiana, and Kentucky are least expensive, around 65 grand for income. you'll need to earn triple that amount to buy a home in California or Hawaii. I'm Rory O'Neill.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. Yeah, it's a lot to afford anything. By the way, this whole like California $20 minimum wage thing is fascinating to me because, I mean, they had made it 16 and now it's 20, and you know, basically you've got all kinds of people who are saying that they're going to have to raise prices, including there was a black female franchisee who on NBC was saying that they're going to have to raise prices because of the jack up and the minimum wage that California is putting in today.
Like Carrie Harper Howie, whose family owns 21 McDonald's in the Los Angeles area.
We will, of course, as everyone else is, have to increase prices in some way, shape, or form. And what people don't understand is they say, oh, what does it matter? McDonald's and Taco Bell, they're just big corporations. We are family businesses.
Yeah, I mean, you tend to think of a McDonald's as being able to absorb whatever cost you put in front of them because, you know, but did they get to be massive corporations by being overly expensive? I mean, the whole point is it's an affordable price point, and if the meals become too expensive, which you know they're going to be. Now, some of the analysis indicates that they probably won't raise prices that much because if you've got a 20% raise in your cost of labor, right, from 16 to 20, in fact, that's actually not even 20, that's a 25% raise in your price of labor. That doesn't mean you have to raise prices 25% because labor's only, what, a third of your cost inputs for a restaurant, maybe 40%, something like that. But it would mean that you'd have to raise enough in your prices to increase by that share, which starts to look more like, you know, maybe 8%, 7%, something like that. And would a 6 to 8% increase in your prices to cover that cost, would that be enough? Would people not go there anymore at that point? Well, people are already pretty attached to McDonald's, and I don't know whether the, you know, what's a Happy Meal run these days? My God, you know, $6 maybe? It's been so long since I had to buy one. I'm maybe totally out of touch on that. But, you know, let's say it's $6. You know, if you raise that to $6.40, people not buying it in California? I mean, probably they still will. And if everybody has to raise prices because everybody employs, you know, low-income workers, you know, I don't know if it's going to run people out of the business or not. But you've already had some, like, for example, the pizza places are shedding their delivery drivers because they say, well, let's just do DoorDash instead and not pay our drivers. So we'll see if anybody else follows suit. But, you know, did you ever think that you'd make $40,000 taking orders at a McDonald's? And then again, did you ever think you'd have to pay $400,000 for a house or in California, $800,000 for a house, right? Jake's got our traffic on the fives. Jake?
All right. Not seeing any problems on our roadways this morning. Looks like I-10 and I-110 are flowing. Highway 98 through Gulf Breeze and Navarre, no problems there. Highway 90 coming out of Milton through Pace is accident-free. If you're on Highway 29 south this morning coming through Cantonment and Inslee, not seeing anything slowing you down there. Chase Street, Gregory Street, Garden Street, Palafox, all checking in clear. If you see anything out there on the roadway slowing you down, let us know. Call or text our traffic tip line. That phone number is 437-1620. I'm Jake Walker with your traffic on the fives.
6:58 here on News Radio 92.3. Oh, the Army has started to roll out its implementation of the next generation squad and assault weapons, which is, we've been kind of waiting for this. You remember, for years, they have been looking at the prospect of going to a different caliber to have higher punch at distance. They didn't want to go all the way up to a 7.62, which is the old M50 round. The M249 is like a same 5.56 that the M4s carry and the M16s carried. But they were, you know, working on this for years and years, and they made a deal with Sig Sauer to produce this brand new ammunition. What is it? 6.8, I believe, is the ammunition size. And yes, a 6.8 millimeter. So now they've rolled out basically the XM7 is the rifle version, and then the XM250 is the, you know, the saw basically version, the high capacity version. And they're starting to put this into place, and over the next few years, they're going to buy, you know, tens of thousands, even 125,000 of these weapons combined. So a little bit heavier, a little bit lower level of ammunition that you carry in a standard kit, and you know, bigger punch at distance and a more of recall. So, but that's the Army's solution to the problems they discovered in Afghanistan, being able to fight back against, for example, the enemy troops with the AK-47 at distance. All right. Will the Trump flag funding happen? Do you think that'll happen?
Yes, it will.
Yeah.
If he gets reelected.
Yeah, why not?
Local talk in the morning, 5 to 9 with Andrew McKay is on News Radio 92.3. WNRP Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.